Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Klug, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, Ronnie, you're broadcasting live, my friend, from the epicenter of Bibles, beards, and bourbon, are you not, at the Sojourn Conference, baby?
I mean, I was there, but since you said it like that, I'm just going to pretend like I'm still there. You know what I mean?
Baby, you're still there in spirit.
I'm still there in spirit. I'm suffering Absolutely. From post-conference depression right now, as we all do, when we've learned that like everything that we just got taught and instructed for the last 3 days, we're not doing at our churches, and there's obviously no way we can do all that our churches. So we're all just suffering from just crushing depression. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, had to finish planning your trunk or treat, so it was very distracting upon your return, I'm sure.
I mean, Rachel the Held Evans, we're out.
You know what? The good thing about being Ronald J. Martin, though, and being a part of 16 denominations and church planning networks is that there's always a conference coming up in about a week and a half. So, you know, you get home from one and you start packing your skinnies and your flannels for the next one. So,
you know what, Big T? You know what? You know what's weird about what you just said? It's absolutely true because
I know that.
Because my wife and I will be heading down to Columbus next week for the Gen Book and TGC conference. So,
of course.
You know, there you go.
TGC conference?
An all-women's conference featuring myself and Jen Wilkin. It's going to be great. And I'm just kidding. It's not featuring me. It's just Jen Wilkin. So,
yeah. And you're just
Maybe
going
Jen
to Columbus.
Jen Wilkin was just in our town.
Well, you know, I mean, we can only dream. But no, it's for my wife. So I'm going to drop her off. She's going to enjoy no bourbon, no Bibles, no beards. But a lot of Jen Wilkin and a lot of gospel.
Oh no, there are Bibles, but they are in impressive carrying cases and usually accompanied by a Beth Moore Bible study or something of that sort.
Obviously, we do not allow Beth Moore Bible studies at Substance. You boys should know that at this point. And not that there's anything wrong.
Oh,
with
that's
Beth
right.
Moore.
You guys are reformed. That means you write your own Bible studies instead of buying them from people who do that for jobs.
We're reformed, which means me as a man, I write the Bible studies for the women.
Dude, you're reformed, meaning you have concerns about every other person's Bible study.
Meaning, like, I have concerns about every other person's Bible study for women that is written by women.
That's right.
I know zip about Beth Moore, man, but I think of her as very, like, mid-90s commercial, man. I think of her as doing, like, arena shows in the mid-90s. Am I right about that, or am I off base?
I mean, I think that's accurate.
Did she do arena shows?
They're not shows. Like, it's like an all-day Bible teaching. Like, she is full-on – like, her Bible studies are work. I haven't gone through them, but I know people who have. And, like, it is an intense amount of in-depth work in the text. Like, they're legit. They're not, like, touchy-feely – name it, claim it stuff.
Well, Pipe, I was going to say, like, she has a weird rep, right? Because, like, some people, maybe in our tribe, tend to give her a hard time, but she's actually pretty solid, right? I mean,
very much so. Yeah, she's not like the Joyce Meyers of the world, if you will.
No, she's not like Joyce Meyer, but then on the reform side of things, she's also not like a Jen Wilkin. She's not like as hardcore as like a Wilkin either.
Well, she's more of like a classic Bible teacher as opposed to like a she's not a systematic theologian in that sense, whereas like the reformed teachers tend to be more have a theological framework. She's going to be more like verse by verse march through the text kind of framework. Yeah. So a little bit more like classic expositor instead of the theology. I think the main reason reformed people don't like her is because a woman is kind of boldly preaching scripture, even though she does it pretty much entirely to women.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Happy Rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
happily ranting about systematic female theologians and we either agree or disagree with them right now.
Yeah, Rachel the Held Evans might want to be on the show, like without irony at this point.
Wait a minute, are we technically, without even knowing it, doing our Rachel the Held Evans episode right now with this?
I think we are. Maybe what we're doing is getting off topic. I want to get back to
diversity is what we're doing right now.
I want to get back to the Sojourn Conf, man. I want to get back to I want you to tell me the most kind of like obnoxiously hipster thing that you witnessed at the Sojourn Conf.
Well, dude, you know, this is what's funny, right? So like I don't do pipes and I don't really do bourbon. I'm pretty mm-hmm. just You know what I mean? I like a nice diet Pepsi and a donut in my other hand. You know, I mean, that's kind of how I like to roll through these things. I'm not particularly like edgy or controversial, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's just really funny when you look around the landscape because everybody
listeners will be stunned to find that out. By the way, shocked that you're not controversial or edgy.
But here's the thing, Pipe. So what's kind of gotten funny now with the pipes, okay, no pun. This is not a draw or reference to our own beautiful Barnabas Piper.
I was going to say, called me Pipes and then referred to Pipes, and I'm confused.
Trying to delineate right now, okay. So help me, boys. Help me here. Yeah. But the new trend for pipes are like these super long, like Sherlock Holmes looking like 1885 like.
Is it like the big bell? Yeah, the one or like the big or like bell a super with long the big, like Gandalf the, pipe that like you have to extend your arm fully to.
No, it's like the one with like the bell curve at the bottom. Yeah, the one that like scoops up. Yeah, yeah, and I'm looking at this thing going like, oh my god, like it's just reaching like ridiculous proportions now, right?
Dude, now these guys packed their pipes. So they're packing for Sojourn Cough, and they're like, honey,
you have handcrafted leather pouches for their pipes.
Yeah, pouches.
Absolutely, it's all customized, personal. Like, they're going to, like, Saddleback Leather Company and ordering, like, custom, like, leather pouches for, like, these things.
Yeah.
And then so everybody, it's almost like artillery, right? They lay these things. It's almost like laying your guns out on the table, right? And everybody unpacking.
Like a surgeon's instruments. They, like, unroll their leather and, like, lay it all out.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Now, Big R, this is fascinating to me. So just practically, like, where do these guys – so where was the conf? What city?
Okay, so the conf was in Louisville, right? So Sojourn has four, like, campuses, right? It was at one of the Sojourn Church campuses, right? So they – so afterwards, they had this thing out, like, on the – they have this lawn kind of configuration. Yeah. And so they had all of these, like they had the whole thing, like, set up out there for, like, sort of the after party, you know, the hang.
Oh, jeez, dude. It was so like a Portlandia sketch, wasn't it, man?
It was very similar to a Portlandia sketch where everybody
comes
out.
You had your pipe section. You had your, like – leather work. You had your pour overs.
The furniture was entirely made of pallets and barrels.
Yeah,
pallets and barrels.
A full bourbon wet bar, you know, for every kind of like bourbon drink, every kind of bourbon concoction your mind can dream up, like they'll have for you. It's
dude, this is incredible, man.
Yeah,
this
and all Big R wants is a little Diet Pepsi with lime. Can I get a little Diet Pepsi with lime, Big T? Can I get that?
Of course you couldn't.
You have to order it. You have to order it Diet Pepsi Rocks or Diet Pepsi Neat with a twist of lime. Otherwise, they won't know what you're talking about.
They didn't know what I was talking about. And Piper, obviously, I went to both of those lengths to get what you just described, and I failed. So I ended up just standing there with a boutique cupcake in one hand. And
of course a boutique cupcake, because you can't just eat a normal cupcake.
And a vintage, right? And a vintage like craft bacon mixed with sausage donut in my right hand, right? So that's what I was doing.
You were two-fisting the food. I'm impressed. Were they good?
Well, obviously they were good because no expense is spared at Sojourn,
right?
To make
food budget's like $78,000.
That's probably being a little on the conservative.
My experience with hipster like boutique cupcakes and donuts is that they reach a certain point where they tip from that was really creative and good to now you're just ruining good food.
Yeah, and they didn't. These were like legit. But let me tell you one more thing before we move on. Here's what you guys are going to like, because this was just Monday night. The next night they were celebrating their 5-year anniversary gig, which by the way they asked Big R to MC and I did. And this is what they ended with. They had the 5-year anniversary after party, and you're going to love what they came up with for this one, man. I mean, they had all kinds of cakes and all the typical stuff, but this is where they broke out with like boutique craft bespoke popsicles.
Oh my gosh, dude.
It was epic, man. So here we are, man. We're just like all these – we're all holding these popsicles. They're all melting down our beards and down their pipes and just picture all popsicles just flowing off of everybody like mud, you know, just dripping.
What was the most bizarre flavor of popsicle? Because popsicles have now been ruined just like Jenny's ruined ice cream.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, Pipe, yeah. I already have that in my back pocket. I got the most bizarre flavor for you right here. And you know what it was? It was buttermilk.
Lay it on us.
Buttermilk.
The funny, yeah. Do you actually have it in your back pocket? Because that seems
no,
messy.
It would have been melted by now. I think that was gross. Just right. That was just being
okay. Just making sure. I have one more question about this. So I had a conversation right before I came in to record with a couple coworkers, and we were talking about how weird it is when church people call each other brother, and how that feels very culty. Is there a lot of brothering going on in this crowd, or do you guys use different terms of endearment and religious connection?
Brother, it's all brothers the whole
brother
time. Brother, I mean, it is B-R-O-T-H-E-R.
Bro is like youth pastor, and that's attractional brotherhood.
Guys, here's the thing. I have an issue with people that say bro because it always sounds aggressive and mean, like they want to fight me. So people know not to say bro to me now. But, dude, there's a lot of bros. There's a lot of bros. There's a lot of brothers. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of like stroking the back and a lot of hugs, and not just hugs where you hug and you like detach.
Dude, stroking the back. What are you talking about, stroking the back?
Yeah, this took a strange turn right after boutique cupcakes.
And just guys coming up with one cupcake in their right hand, but then like stroking your back with the left hand, saying like, "Brother,
dude,
how you been? Brother, how you been doing? Are things
dude,
going
it's a good thing Ted wasn't
good?
There. I feel like Ted would just elbow someone in the teeth for that. Just to
that's
defend
just weird,
himself.
Man.
Well, you can't because it's an awkward thing because you're around. You know, you're yeah. Groups of
you're
dudes,
around a bunch of guys stroking each other's backs.
Right, but it's that kind of thing where everybody – it's you know, it comes out of a good heart where everybody's saying, hey, how are you doing? Is everything going okay? Obviously, there's a look on your face, Ronnie, which would indicate to me that maybe your life in ministry is falling apart, but I'm just going to stroke your back and you know make sure everything's good right now. And so, I mean, it does come
this
out of
like –
what
happens when a bunch of dudes go to prison. Things just get weird. You put a bunch of dudes in an area and like – the boundaries
dude,
they have the boundaries they have in every other area of life just disappear. That's not a thing that happens like when you run into somebody at you know Chili's or whatever. You don't just run like rub their back.
You don't start stroking their back. Yeah,
Piper, I love how that was your go-to restaurant with that.
I hate Chili's.
Dude,
Chili's is disgusting.
Hipsters would never be at Chili's.
But yeah, the thing like Chili's you know? Is the most like normal run of the mill like
dude, it's normal middle
class,
America
like,
run of the mill. Yeah.
It's the place where like if you don't know what the other person likes, you're like, well, there's a Chili's nearby, you know, that
dude,
kind
I love
of thing.
It.
And nobody strokes backs at Chili's.
No, never.
Well, you know, you obviously know none of these gentlemen at Sojourn would ever find themselves in a Chili's.
Dude, they would never darken the door of a Chili's.
I mean, they would never do a Chili's.
Absolutely
right?
I mean,
not.
Is there a lot of back rubbing going on at like a juice bar? Because I'm assuming these guys would end up there since they like
boutique frozen juice.
No,
I mean, they're not. See, at Sojourn, they would look at me and they would say, oh, dude, you're not having any bourbon. Wait, are you a juice bar guy? Like they would probably like level that one at me.
They would just assume you're a juice bar guy if you weren't.
Dude,
like,
I'm just complex. I'm like the
gallons of bourbon.
I'm the complex guy at a Sojourn Network conference. They're looking at me and
dude,
they're going,
these
"You
guys,
look
these
like
hipsters,
you fit
they
in."
They all think of themselves as complex.
That's why I'm saying I'm complex right now.
Oh, if all complexity could be so predictable, life would be a lot easier.
Dude, seriously. Yeah.
Dude,
if it is
predictable at a Sojourn conference. That's what I'm trying to drive at.
Shoot us.
All complexity is predictable at Sojourn.
I don't mean to beat this dead horse, but I have one more question, Pipe. I hope you don't mind.
I'm loving this.
So one of the things that hipsters are insufferable about is, of course, like knowing what's best for poor people. Mm-hmm. So is there any point at which in this Sojourn mm-hmm. conference, in the midst of all the excess and the decadence and the $1.2 million food budget, I mean, does anybody ever get smug and go, wow, you know, we could feed like a whole city in Africa for what we spent on these, you know, buttermilk, popsicles?
Frozen,
I mean,
is anybody juice.
Yeah, frozen juice. Is anybody dropping that, man? Is anybody?
No, the
like,
answer. Big T. Here's the deal. The answer.
I just want to know how this is justified.
The answer is emphatically no, because where Sojourn comes at this is that, dude, we are enjoying the Lord's abundance.
Yes, there it is. Yeah, there's the justification. That's exactly
because
what
we're still.
For.
I mean, we're yeah. still like we still go down those avenues, but, and we still have a heart for the poor and all of that.
Yeah.
But like for this particular 3-day gathering, we're enjoying the blessings.
Dude, you enjoy the Lord's abundance, absolutely.
While dressed like poor people, Because well, dressed like because that's a hipster value as well. We're gonna dress. We're gonna dress like an iron worker from 1920s.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for delineating poor people and then bringing it to iron worker, because we were starting to get a little like racially insensitive there, Pipe. But yeah, so you're right. You're exactly right. Yes. Yeah.
Man, this is fascinating.
It's on
Pipe,
point.
I feel like you and I need to use our media press credentials, man, to get into a Sojourn Conf next year. You know what I'm saying? So that we can essay about this.
Yeah, I feel like I need to brush up on a foreign language first. You know, it's like I need to do the little hipsteries. I need to do a little cultural indoctrination. So I know what I'm getting into.
Spend a day with Big R before we head into the front door. But I'm just saying.
But you said like, but you're like the complexest of the complex. I mean, are you going to throw me off the scent of what it really takes to deal? Like your average run of the mill Sojourn hipster. Are you?
Dude, but they're all super complex, is the thing, in their own minds.
But Ronnie's actually unpredictable because he two fists donuts as opposed to bourbon and a donut. You know, so
yeah,
it's really difficult to keep track of.
I'm a little controversial, so there a lot of them don't know what to do with me. But I think if you guys, like if you boys were hanging with me, I think we'd be okay.
Boys,
together.
Listen
you guys
to
wouldn't
me.
Have to worry about it.
You're the person of peace in this community.
Exactly.
We're gonna take 2 days next summer. And we're going to have hipster camp in Ashland, Ohio with Big R. We're going to find the 2 days in his schedule where he's not at a conference or traveling. And we're going to take those 2 days in Ashtown in that house that he still maintains there, but that he's never at. And we're going to have hipster camp, man. And Pipe, you and I are going to get indoctrinated and prepared for this immersive experience that we're going to have at next year's Sojourn Conf.
You guys will be so prepared.
Give me the city for next year. Is it always Louisville, or are we looking?
Yeah, it's usually Louisville. But let me say something really encouraging to you guys. This was kind of what surprised me this year. Here's what was different about this year. So I walk in, I got my. I usually am not the guy that wears the name tag because again that's why I'm complex. So I usually stuff it in
so
my back
complex.
Pocket.
Oh,
but like
yeah,
I decided to put it around me, and so I had my name, Big R, right there in the flesh in bold black and white. And dude, I had so many people come up to me and talk about the rant and say what big fans they are.
Nice, baby. That's a good note to end on for this.
You know what's great is all of them are listening to this now thinking, yeah, I saw all of those people, not realizing that they are one of those
people. That they are those people.
Yes. Right. That's my favorite thing about hipsters is you can make fun of a hipster to a hipster and they have no idea because they're like, yeah, those people are crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Pipe, listen, how are we ever going to reach this people group if you continue to make fun of them in that way?
Because, yes, I do.
We are reaching this people group.
Yes.
Like they're listening right now.
Making fun is social currency, especially if one can do it ironically.
You guys have your token hipster as part of the program, so you really – there's no harm. There's no danger in any of this now, of course. You know,
Pipe, speaking of actual currency, why don't you do a little business right now, man?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we drop at least one of these sponsors? I'm going to leave it up to you. You can do one or you can do both, because this is our show equally.
Well, since the day that this podcast will release is – I was going to say but it's actually Reformation Day, and we should all know that. And I apologize for bringing up that was my bad, everybody. We have a special Reformation Day promotion for missional wear because what could be more perfect, actually? So they have a couple different designs, one on a shirt and one on a mug. Well, it's the same design on two different products, I should say. And it's a 500 years of Reformation thing. So the 500th anniversary is coming up for the Reformation. And so they will – if you use the code RANT, they will give you a – get this – 15.17% discount through the end of the week because, of course, 1517 being a very significant year in the Reformation. So go to missionalwear.com, check out their 500 years of Reformation design or all their stuff. You can get the discount on whatever you order, their other shirts, their sweatshirts, their other mugs, their pint glasses, their art, all that stuff. So use the code RANT and get that amazing 15.17% Reformation Day discount. And you can do that while your kids are all out dressed up like monsters and trick-or-treating or dressed up like biblical characters at church at the harvest party.
I love it, Pipe. I love
harvest
it.
Party. I love it. I'm a little offended that you said the H word, though. Did you apologize for that, Pipe?
I apologized immediately after saying it. I realized my mistake as it was coming out of my mouth. And
well, you know what we can do, Pipe,
mea culpa,
about that.
Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
We can actually have the great guys at Resonate Recording edit out the word.
We just have them.
Now they got to edit it out twice, because
I just said it. Yeah, we'll have them bleep it out, man. Bleeping things out.
Mark Owen, please bleep appropriately when you hear the H word.
Absolutely. And speaking of the H word, man, and speaking of people dressing up as other people, we had a very interesting creative experience on last week's program. We began the casting process for my new hit television program, Designated Person. And Designated Person is a creative endeavor that we started on the program, myself, Ronnie Martin, and Barnabas Piper. And we opened up the casting process for Ronnie's character to the world, to the entire world, and the entire world got involved. The entire world, man. They looked away from the upcoming election, and they really really leaned into the Designated Person
fully
casting
invested.
Process.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Totally and fully invested. So Designated Person, destined to be a hot new program. And we had casting all across the board on this pipe.
By all across the board, you mean white actors without blonde hair who are under, say, 65.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
That anybody within that range pretty much applies, though.
Now, Pipe, of the suggestions that we got, man, who were the ones that for you, who you could really see playing Ronnie Martin in Designated Person? What you know about the character.
So, my favorite was Timothy Oliphant.
Okay. Talk that out, man.
For a couple reasons. One, as an actor, he plays sort of the understated smart aleck really, really well. He has just the right amount of sort of grizzled gray, but not – he doesn't look old. He's not grizzled old. He just – he's lived some life. But the one thing I'm curious, I don't know if he could have a beard that was quite as nicely crafted as Ronnie's. But I feel like as an actor and to really play the part, I think he could do it a pretty good job. He's the guy who was in the show Justified, which is one of my favorites. And his character in that is a little bit more sort of freewheeling and unpredictable than Ronnie would be, even though Ronnie is very complex, as we discussed. But I think as an actor, he could totally pull it off.
See, there are two for me that really stand out, man. And one, the first one I'm going to mention, I'm shocked that nobody actually mentioned this on Twitter. So this is one that comes from my desk as an entertainment executive and not from the Twitter sphere. And I'm shocked that nobody mentioned Fred Armisen from Portlandia.
Because Fred Armisen looks like a cartoon character and Ronnie doesn't.
Dude, Fred Armisen looks like kind, Ronnie, Pipe. Kind of.
That was kind.
Don't you agree that he kind of looks like Ronnie? I mean, the same sort of coloring
in the way that every hipster has the same haircut and the same clothes and the same glasses. Yes, but like his facial features look a little bit. He looks like a caricature of a character.
But I think where I was going with that, Pipe, mentally was he's already got just copious amounts of experience playing a hipster. You know what I'm saying? True. He's played every kind of hipster on Portlandia. So there's nothing that we could throw at him in Designated Person. Like when I write...
Has he played a hipster pastor on Portlandia? That
I don't know, but that needs to happen.
Would that stretch him beyond...
Oh, that absolutely needs to happen, doesn't it?
Dude, because the first episode that I'm writing for Designated Person is the Sojourn Conference ep. So,
that's a strong pilot ep right there.
It's a strong pilot ep. Whoever we cast in this episode needs to be able to walk right in and immediately sell the idea of being a hipster pastor. So Fred Armisen is one choice. The other one that came through on Twitter that I really liked was Chris Kattan. Kind of a sleeper name, man, from the 90s.
Killing
made his mark with movies like Night at the Roxbury.
I see what you're trying to do, guys. You're trying to get back at me.
The Mr. Peepers skits. Don't
bring it on.
Can't forget
bring
those.
It on. I got Dude, a thick skin. Like, bring it on.
You know, it's television. I feel like Kattan is a guy who kind of needs this role right now. I feel like we can minister to him through this. So I liked Chris Kattan.
The person who suggested Chris Kattan suggested him as a – he said he couldn't choose between Jude Law and Chris Kattan. And when you look at them side by side –
very similar.
There's that mashup. Yeah, I mean they play – they always play very similar roles.
They do a lot of the same things. Yeah. They dated a lot of the same people. I mean, you know,
they talk similarly. Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Jude Law. Absolutely. I don't even know if Jude Law can do an American accent. I think character-wise, he would do a good job. But British Ronnie just doesn't quite fit, so I'm not sure that I'm not sure that that goes. Somebody else said that Ronnie shares mannerisms with Jack Donaghy, so Alec Baldwin's character in 30 Rock.
Dude, Jack Donaghy, man, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. That one took me. That one surprised me.
So I don't know what the mannerisms are, or if they're getting the three of us mixed up, and maybe Ted or I have more characteristics in common. But you don't look anything like Alec Baldwin, and I don't think he would be a great fit. And then I think people were just throwing out actors that they've heard of. I think that was sort of how this went. Yeah, it's like Tom Hardy, Gerard Butler, Tom Hanks, Nick Cage.
Tom Hanks.
The one that was the most like, wow, that's out of left field and completely doesn't fit was Brad Garrett. Do you know who Brad Garrett is? The deep voice brother from Everybody Loves Raymond, he generally plays sort of a doofy character. Mm-hmm. That one was the most off, like way off target, but it did make me laugh.
Man, this is fascinating.
I like the Jared Leto suggestion, or Leto, or however you say that name, because the comment on that was he can do all the hairstyles.
Oh, you know what? He can. That's actually like a sneaky good suggestion. So I bet we could get Jared Leto too.
This guy's one of those guys who always does a subtly good job in shows or movies, but he never carries it. So I don't know if he's the right guy for a lead. But Giovanni Ribisi was a suggestion
Dude, now Ribisi, that could be a winner. That could be a winner. Pipe, what do you think about that, man?
I'm intrigued.
Ribisi probably needs a job right now too.
Here's the thing. I feel like he doesn't ever lack for work, but he's not an A-lister. He's always adds to a movie. He never takes away. Like he's always a plus, but he's never the guy. Like you don't headline with that. But maybe he's due for his breakout.
Dude, you know what? I actually just saw him in a movie playing a douche hipster. Not that Ronnie's a douche, but he was a douche in this particular movie. It was Lost in Translation, where he's Scarlett Johansson's
horrible husband. Yeah,
yeah.
Do I need to watch that again? You know. I watched that like right after it came out, and I remember thinking it was really boring, but I was 22
I really
at
liked
the time,
it.
And
I really liked it.
Probably,
yeah. I think it's a movie for grown-ups, you know. So you might enjoy it more now.
Yeah. So I would not have called myself a grown-up at the time. So
definitely not.
I'll have to go back and see if I can follow the maturity of it now.
Dude, it's great. Like kind of early late Bill Murray, in that Bill Murray had just started playing like hollowed out older guys who are just ravaged by life, but this was like the early part of that period, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Whereas like he's been doing that character for the last 15 years now and it's kind of getting old, but Lost in Translation was sort of that was the first instance of Murray playing that guy. Yeah. He was really cool as that.
Ronnie, who would you want to play yourself? the always awkward question, because it will give us a keen indication of how you view yourself.
Indeed. Well, you know what, man? Here's what was crazy, right? So as I was scrolling down Twitter, kind of looking at everybody's ridiculous suggestions, the one that I was shocked by, when I saw the picture that they posted, which I never really thought about before, I was stunned at how much I look like Jon Stewart. In the picture.
Oh yeah, dude! I could totally see that.
Same kind of beard, same kind of look, and I was like thinking I'd never put those two together, and I thought, well, I mean, not really. Like, you know, guy kind of dropped out of acting a long time ago, but like, I don't know. You know, if you're just going off of looks alone, I mean,
he could read some lines. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a guy. I don't like Jared Leto, but I think he could work. But I just can't stand Jared Leto, so he looks the part.
I'm not sure he could play the part.
I want to push you on this a little bit, man. Why can you not stand Jared Leto? Let's go there.
I don't like the rock actor combo guys, and to me it delegitimizes both sides of the coin that they're trying.
Dude, that's fascinating. So it's not like you to like come hard with an opinion like that. So like other rock stars who have acted, you haven't been down with this.
Well, it feels like it just makes the other thing they do not as legit. And typically actors that try to sing or their music careers are just like really laughed at. And so Leto to me is that guy. And I just even the way he comes off, like in interviews, he's just, you know, I've never liked his personality much. You know what I mean? He's never been my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he an actor first or a rock star?
He was an actor first.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Okay.
But I think he would work. I think it would work. I mean, I'm a little older than him, but I think it would work, you know?
Yeah, you can make it work. You can make it
there
work.
There you go. I can make it work. If I'm on the set and we're doing some back and forth and we're doing
some
buttermilk popsicles, kind of talking, coaching and
what about Kevin Bacon? Do you think he could pull it off?
Ooh.
Dude, Kevin Bacon's like 20 years older than me, man. I mean, I'm literally
But Kevin Bacon has looked the same age since he was 27. So
yeah, no, he's aged well. He's in good shape. He's in good shape.
Well, he's actually emaciated and looks like a 1980s rocker. I passed him in the hallway at a hotel a few months ago, and he's really skinny. Like,
yeah, he's a skinny dude.
He's Mick Jagger on cocaine skinny.
Yeah. Oh wow, man, that's real skinny.
I just think he's in shape, though. I don't think he has issues.
He doesn't look drugged up in his face.
Dude, he's in shape from all skinny. all that like angry rage dancing that he does in like abandoned factories. You know, which if we were to cast him in this role, I would have to write that kind of scene in.
He would be the angry rage dancer.
He'd be and you would be the angry. Your character would. So like,
I love how you describe that, Big T. Angry rage dancing sounds like it should be like a new thing.
Dude, wasn't that the thing in like Footloose though? Like his character gets a little tweaked, and like he goes and finds like an empty barn to just dance out his feelings.
Baby, you know? Do you think if I convince Sojourn to go into some sort of angry rage dancing like elective or session
ministry.
Like next year, they'll do that? Do you think they might want to do that?
Dude, if you could sell them on the idea that it was vintage and that it was like some sort of like artistic self expression.
Yeah, it would have to be angry rage dancing. I'm not sure angry and rage are the right selling points for that crowd. I feel like it's got to be more about tapping into the emotion or the expression or the something that's maybe something more subtle and dark as opposed to angry and rageful. I don't know.
Dude, but see, for hipsters, it's all about the gear, man. You got to win them with the gear. So it's like, what kind of shoes or boots do you wear when you're angry rage dancing? You know what I'm saying? You got to
swap out the black. You swap out the black boots for the brown ones.
Yeah, right. you put on some brown boots.
I'm going to use my brown Red Wings instead of my black ones today.
Well, I meant the other way around. The black ones are for the angry dancing. The brown ones are for life.
Gotcha. Those are your day-to-day Red Wings.
Gotcha.
You know. Gotcha. Oh, my goodness, man. Pipe, we have more business to do, man. Why don't you drop another sponsor on us, and then we'll take this thing home, man.
All right.
We've wandered to and fro.
We have done that, that's for sure. Our last sponsor is Logos. You have heard us talk about them before if you're a regular listener. So go to logos.com/rant to check out more. But Logos is one of the most robust Bible study software programs out there. They offer multiple packages. And with that comes, depending on what level you get, different features and different sets of resources. So you can basically fill up your entire theological and Bible study library and have access to it all in one place, which means whether you're writing a paper for school or teaching a class or preaching a sermon or preparing, you can do all that in one place with all of these resources right there. So you can pull in the pertinent quotes and the references. So it will protect you from plagiarism, unless you really want to do that, because it will all be right there. You can pull in those references. You'll be able to look at original languages and other people's interpretations and commentaries, and you can do a side-by-side sermon preparation with your resources where you're moving things back and forth, and it's all right there. So go to logos.com/rant, and then you can use the code HAPPYRANT7 at checkout for a free resource. And I've mentioned this before, but when you look at their prices, it looks a little bit expensive, but that is because they're basically giving you an entire library along with their full suite of tools. So it's not something where you buy that and then have to buy all the additional resources with it. You get it all right there, and then there are different sizes of library, basically, depending on which level you get. So logos.com/rant, go check that out, especially if you are a pastor or a teacher or a student. It's a really helpful thing in any of those contexts.
Now, boys, it occurs to me that the radio business is full of tough choices, you know, and you don't get to where we've gone in this business, the heights that we've ascended by not being able to make tough choices about your program. And our time is short. here at the end, and we have two things left that we need to talk about, or that we're on kind of on the table for us to talk about. One of which is the passing of Jack Chick. Jack Chick, if you're not familiar, was the author, kind of an iconic brand behind tracks, the kind of tracks that, like, you would, I don't know, people would leave laying around or give to people, or whatever, gospel tracks, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think gospel should be in quotes, but yes.
Gospel mm-hmm. in quotes. Yeah, gospel in quotes. But then somebody brought up the phenomenon of pastors who post, like, their fitness stuff online, like how much they're bench pressing or how many miles they've run. And I don't know, man, that struck me as really funny. So if there would be a way to combine those two topics, to meld Jack Chick's passing, which you never want to make fun of a dude dying, man. So that was the other dilemma. I wondered, like, how are we going to talk about that without sounding like just total jerks? So you guys are word people, you're expert communicators. Talk, if you will, about Jack Chick, about the legacy of Jack Chick, while also maybe talking about these pastors who post their fitness stuff online, which just blows my mind, man. Like, why anybody would do this who wasn't a professional athlete is beyond me, right? Like, if you're not like Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps, like, nobody cares how fast you swim. or how fast you run, or how many miles you put in this week. Nobody gives a crap, right?
And it doesn't enhance your ministry in any particular way to know that pastor is wearing Lycra and working out. So
if anything, it just reminds people that you don't have enough to do throughout the week.
Especially because you're posting these things at like 11 a.m. and other people go to the gym at either 5 a.m. or like 8 p.m. And so at 11 a.m. they're like, oh, I've been working for 4 hours already. What have you been doing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Dude, having a little coffee, going to the gym.
That's right.
Having my buttermilk popsicle.
Double fist in my bacon donuts.
Having my bacon donut, doing a little Life on Life, you know. Judas, man. I can't believe people do. See, again, not on social media, but people do this. This is a common thing for pastors to
do. And so the person who brought it up said that they've started to see a phenomenon. I haven't seen a ton of this where, like, church staffs will go work out together. So it's like a workout club. And the pastor fitness thing has been a reality for a while, and you see Vine videos of somebody bench pressing or, you know, getting off the treadmill or giving an inspirational speech while jogging at 6.5 miles an hour on a treadmill or whatever.
Baby, listen, get right up out of here with that, man. Are you kidding me? People post a video of themselves bench pressing?
Well, somebody – I doubt they're doing it themselves because a one-armed bench press is challenging. Somebody posts it and – yeah, or they like take pictures of the weights, which I'm sure they're taking pictures of the weights of the person next to them because you know that they're not lifting 445s or something like that. But I don't understand it when anybody does it. It's like the CrossFit phenomenon, but it seems extra pretentious when pastors do it. It's
like, here's a question, really, guys. Who do you think out of all of our evangelical friends, like, who do you think, you know, out of our A, B, and C listers, who do you think would be most likely if they started CrossFit, which many of them probably have and do, but who do we think out of all the people we regularly talk about would be the first to start posting on those things?
Wow, great question.
Besides Barnabas's dad.
Clearly. Yeah, he's all over social media with trite and meaningless stuff all the time. I mean,
besides that, trivial that's a given things. Besides him.
He wastes his life on Twitter constantly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I feel like I should apologize.
Dude,
for
so Mark Owens, bleep that. Who would be all over Twitter and all over social media?
Besides Jared Wilson and John Piper, who would be all over Twitter talking about CrossFit?
Jared Wilson makes a point out of making fun of people who post things like that, or, you know, making jokes about. He's not aggressive. He's aggressive about making fun of other things. But there's somebody who already does this, and he's not necessarily the sweet spot of the Gospel Coalition-y crowd, but Crump is a notorious workout photo and video poster. Here's the thing: he's a former Division I college athlete, and so he was a heavyweight wrestler, and I think he was a defensive end at University of Oklahoma.
You're like, he's earned that, Piper.
He lifts weights, like, he lifts heavy things. It's not like doing curls with 20s or something. Like,
dude, but still, what's the point? Like,
that
nobody
I don't
cares
know
how much you lift.
Yeah, no, I don't understand that. And I can't think of a single reason why one would ever do this.
Big T, would you shoot a video? And can you do that this week so that we can look and see how you lift?
Dude, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that because I don't like the way I look on a video.
I'm asking you to do it just for our sake. Would you do
Maybe
it so
I'll
that
do
me
it
and
Piper? I'll do it just for you and Piper.
Can me and Piper get some tips from Big T? That's what I'm saying. I mean, can we figure out how to lift weights and be a strong, tough man? I mean, can you give us some tips?
Oh, I'll put you on a little regimen, baby. But because you're a hipster, it's going to have to be vintage weights. It's going to have
well,
to
that's
be
what
those,
I mean.
Like,
I that's
kettlebells.
A good
kettlebells.
Thing. Like, kettlebell, like cannonballs and stuff, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually on the eBay auction right now to like win my kettlebell. So as soon
Dude,
as you,
you
give
gotta,
me,
that- you got to grow that mustache, that long like handlebar mustache, and get a singlet that only straps over one shoulder, and then hold the kettlebell up by one hand. You
just,
know what I'm saying?
Just hit buy it now, so it's on its way.
I love it. The kettlebell singlet.
So if you would just
combo.
Get if you would just get online and give us the instruction on how to do it, Big T. Now we can start working out like our event or like our Evangela friends. You know what I mean?
I got you, man. And I got you. Absolutely.
Evangela friends, man. Is that a book
dude,
title
that's
for
good.
The three
you,
of us to write? I mean, is that
dude,
something
you know what
we need to
doing,
write,
man? You've been riding that pony hard the last couple of weeks, man, and I like it. I like
Jella friends. Yeah.
Yeah, I like when you start a word, man, and you just keep dropping it in. You know,
dude.
And,
well, so there's two things I want to do with
what's
you guys.
How you
I want to write
vernacular. That's strong.
I want to write. Yeah. I want to write a an adult reformed coloring book on Crossway for the three of us. I want to write a book with the title Evangela Friends, and then I want to do, dude. I mean, we were just let's continue the Jack Chick thing for next time, but I want to write reformed chick tracks.
Chick tracks.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at some of Jack Chick's tracks right now online, and I'm not going to sleep tonight. These are genuinely terrifying.
We
They're
need to
scary.
Take time to suss those out, though. We need to take time to suss that out. That should be the next step.
Okay.
I just didn't realize how completely and utterly terrifying these are. Like, I knew the
like,
message
was what I want
was
you
terrifying.
To do, man, because I know you don't have a lot to do. Why don't you do this, man? Why don't you post some of those examples online and then ask people to post some examples online, and then we can talk about like individual like you know chick tracks.
All right.
I think that'll be great.
So listeners, if you would just respond to us on Twitter with your favorite chick track, you can link to it. Ideally just drop the image right in there. You can
Yeah, we want to see the image.
Yeah,
man.
So that because we will retweet it, we'll collect them, we'll look through some of those. I'll collect a few as well. Because like Ronnie said, I don't have anything to do with my life. So
dude, you know
I'm
what though? You know
that.
What else too? I wonder how strong our listenership is. Like I wonder how much they can bench. So
but
if
only
you
if they're
video,
benching tree trunks.
Yeah, if you have video of yourself benching, I want you to post that this week too, doing bench work, right?
Yeah. Or curls. Curl, you can actually take the picture of yourself.
Ooh.
With the bench press, that's harder, so.
And guys, right, so winner gets what? We'll have Missional Wear send them a missional sticker or something like that? I mean, who wins? You know, how do we roll out with the winner? What do they get? I'm a guy that needs a prize for doing something.
Mikey's the big winner.
We can get them a Happy Rain sticker for sure.
All right, we'll get you. So if you send us the best chick track or the best bench pressing or curls video, you get a Happy Rant sticker.
I love it.
Bonus points for kettlebells, cannonballs, or
the more vintage, the weightlifting, the better.
Large hunks of wood. So yeah, if you
and I mean, hear this, man, listen to this though. If anybody gets injured doing this, we're not liable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Thank you for throwing that in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, always a businessman, Pipe. Business first. You know, nothing gets in the way of this company.
And safety second, yes.
And safety second. So don't hurt yourself, but do a little vintage lifting. We want to see it. And send us some chick tracks. Boys, I have to go, man. I have to teach some more classes here. But this has been fun. We've wandered to and fro. I feel like I cut you guys off. Do you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
I just consider you both my Evangela friends.
Baby, here's the thing about Evangela friends. I feel like this could be the adult coloring book because I feel like it's kind of like the Super Friends. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're doing. You're trying to combine those two concepts together,
I'm trying to combine
together,
the two
T.
projects, baby. All right. I'm trying to combine. And you know what? Listen, there's no bad ideas right now. We're just workshopping. So
right.
I feel like you know, those two could become the same person.
All right, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. You can talk to Justin Taylor sometime this week, Piper.
I'll talk to JT. We'll keep writing designated person. I'm going to reach out to Jared Leto, Fred Armisen, Chris Kattan, some various people.
Here's a here's just a way that Evangelo Friends could go. That could be actually like think like a group of characters who are the main characters in the tracts.
The ideas are flowing like mud now. Yeah. I think you just hit on something.
I mean,
this is a
California mudslide right here. It's
that sounds big. That sounds big with a capital B-I-G. That's big.
So Evangelo Friends becomes becomes like the series of tracts.
Wow.
We possibly
Big T, do you hear what's going on right now? Do you hear what's going on right now? I mean, that's collective energy right now, Big T.
He's off teaching classes. He's out.
Well, close up the program then, Forrest Piper.
Well, if Ted's actually gone, I feel very out of place doing this, but we have wandered to and fro. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.